I'm Kristen Marchand, and this is the Opiongo Line. Today, we have another episode of Back in the Day, our show dedicated to uncovering our social history. This afternoon, our Back in the Day host, Martina Koulis, has as her guest, Carmen Palbeski. Late in the 1940s, Carmen's parents, Ambrose and Jean Palbeski, opened a classic small-town diner, the Grey Lunch Bar, on the main street of Barry's Bay. Later, they turned it into a corner grocery store, Palbeski's Variety, but everybody growing up around here simply knew it as Jason's. To say it was a favorite hangout for everybody in town would be an understatement. It was the place to meet after church, after baseball games, after hockey games, and after just about anything important that went on in the village of Barry's Bay during the second half of the 20th century. So let's join Martina Koulis in conversation with Carmen Palbeski.
I was born in Renfrew. My parents are Ambrose Palbeski and Jean Chipier. They got married in Windsor. How they got there, I don't know. I never asked. I should have. Moved here and shortly after they were married.
Oh, okay. But you were born then in Renfrew?
Renfrew. We lived in the house that John Blesky owned or eventually bought, and it was sold, so we moved next door to the house on the corner.
Yeah, corner lot. Was that better? You liked it more?
I didn't know the difference then. I was too young.
A house is a house at that point, right?
Yeah.
So do you have any siblings?
I have one brother, Don, and five sisters.
Five sisters. What was that like growing up with five sisters?
Oh, it was good, and I'm glad I have them. They're all very good to me. And Joan, Mary Jane, Lois, Suzanne, and Sylvia.
Okay.
They're all very good to me.
That's a pretty big family, seven kids.
Well, there were seven in my mother's family.
Okay.
And 13 in Dad's.
Wow.
So.
Like you were saying, you must have a lot of relatives then.
I do. Oh, yeah. I never did count. Maybe I'll do that. I have Teresa Prince did a genealogy of both my parents' families, and they're all listed there. I should count them up. It'll be over 100 anyway.
I bet. Oh, my gosh. I thought my family was big I think I have 20 cousins or something like that, and I thought it was big. But the more I'm interviewing people, the more I'm realizing I have a pretty small family for around here.
I feel sorry for some people that have their lonely child or something. That's lonely and only, yes.
Yeah, I'm happy I have one sister. I'm happy I at least have one. Can't imagine not having any siblings. So are you the youngest then?
I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest. Okay. So you kind of have to watch out for everyone, or no?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Sort of.
So
more expected of you, I guess.
Yeah. At that point, your parents would they expect you to, babysit them or anything like that, or is just...
I don't actually remember. I'm too old to remember that.
Oh, I don't think so.
Just thinking, my first day of school, well, I had to walk to school, as everybody did. There was no buses then.
Did you go to school here?
Yeah, at the old school, yeah.
At
St. Hedwig's.
Okay.
And a high school at the old high school where the beer store is now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Did you like going to school?
Oh, yes, I enjoyed it. I was thinking in grade 13, the class had doubled. There was four of us.
And you started off with two?
Well, the previous year there were two.
Okay. And you ended up with more. That surprised me. I thought it'd be less by the time you're in grade 13.
Yeah, people went out after. Yeah, there was four of us in grade 13.
Wow. Yes. And so, because I'm assuming all of you went to school then, all seven of you.
Oh, yeah.
So you all walked to school then together?
Yes, there were no buses. Yeah. I walked on the boys' street and the girls on the girls' street.
There's two different streets.
The boys were only allowed on Bay Street and the girls were only allowed on Dunn Street.
Right from the start.
And you don't dare cross.
Did anyone ever try?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Not you, though, right?
That was the ruling by the school.
Yeah.
The nuns.
Yeah. And you had to walk home that same way then.
Yeah.
What do you remember about school over there?
I sometimes laugh when I hear of the class sizes. I think there was 44 in my class.
Was it just one?
In grade one. And then in grade two, there was about 40. But there was one row of grade two and three rows of grade three, and I was in that same class for 3 years.
Oh, my gosh.
I wasn't in the same grade 3 years. Just
It was just all together. Yeah, now the class sizes, what are they? I think usually
25 or so.
25 is maximum. And I know even when I was in school, I think the most we ever had was 25 or something like that. So... yeah, definitely changed, I would think.
We had good teachers all along. The nuns were our teachers, and I had a nun for every teacher.
Okay.
All the grades. scared of some of them, but they're all good.
Were they strict?
Some were.
Yeah. But it was kind of to be expected.
Not like now. I just heard a speaker the other day. He said he wanted to be a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
He lasted 3 months because there was no control. He couldn't control it.
Wow.
So he ended up on a job that he really likes. He's a warden of a prison.
Oh my gosh, that's quite the change.
He
yeah.
says he's still teaching kids, but they're older.
Yeah, quite a bit older.
And I was at that prison.
Oh, really?
Algona State Prison in Louisiana.
You can go and visit it?
There are 6,500 people there.
Wow.
80% of them are lifers. And the warden, he's good. I have his book.
Okay.
It's really good.
Yeah.
He made a lot of changes there.
Mm-hmm. So did you guys do anything fun in your school? I heard sometimes you guys did plays, right? Did you ever do those?
Oh, yes. I was in a concert. There's a picture of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Classmates. I don't remember what the concert was about, but everybody had almost every grade had a concert. And
so you had to sing in those then?
I have no idea what. No, it was a play.
Oh, okay, a play. And then your parents would come and watch?
Oh, yeah,
That's awesome.
The concert was held in this church basement, or just anywhere there.
It was held in St. Hedwig's basement then?
Yeah.
And was it packed?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Lots of people.
Did they have to pay to watch it, or no, it was just put on?
Oh, I think there was a fee.
Oh, okay.
But I don't really know.
Yeah, well, you were on stage. You were the big shot then, eh?
You had to pay to go to the movies at first. When Senior Vernatsky brought in movies.
Oh, okay. And he would play those in the basement as well?
Oh, he would put on a movie, and that was the early days, really, in the 30s and 40s, I guess. Paid 10 cents to go in.
Oh, okay. That's quite different than now, I would think. A little more expensive to go to the movies, and they're not in the church basement anymore. A bit different.
Yeah.
So you said your parents were in Windsor for a while, and then they moved here, but they just moved here. You never got a chance to ask them.
No, I don't know how they ended up in Windsor. They were in Kitchener originally, then they got married in Windsor, and why they were there, I don't know.
Yeah.
I did ask. It was wartime, so they came here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, your dad is from here, right?
Oh, yes.
He grew up...
My mother was from Willno.
Okay. Oh, so they're both from around here then. Oh, okay. That makes sense why they might have wanted to come here.
Yeah.
So when were you born?
1943. In 1949, they decided to open a restaurant.
Okay, so you were just six then.
5 or 6, yeah.
And what do you remember about that?
Oh, that was a busy place in the summer.
Yeah, in the
My
winter.
Dad was the cook, and mother. Mm-hmm. Mother said she'd bake 45 pies before breakfast.
Oh my
before
gosh.
We opened. Like, I don't know how she ever did it.
She must have had to wake up so early.
So, we had two shifts.
Mm-hmm.
7 waitresses each shift.
Wow.
We always had to work in the store, in the restaurant.
Yeah.
It was really busy in the summer. But in the winter, it was a totally different story.
Much
I remember
quiet.
One day in our shift changed at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And the sales to that point were $3.30.
Not a busy day that
not
day.
Not in the winter. But I don't know how they had to be tough to do that. I mean, it was a lot of hard work. And then open late at night, and people come from the hockey games after wanting hamburgers and hot dogs and play the pinball machine and the jukebox, and kind of a rough crowd sometimes.
did they ever have to break up any fights?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Well, a couple of fellas come in drunk, and one tackled my dad, and my dad had to throw him out.
Yeah, yeah.
And then his father came over, the man, why you beat up my boy? Well, he was going to throw me in the basement, what do you expect me to do?
Was it rowdy crowds after those hockey games?
Oh, yes, because there's a lot of drinking and But it was really busy in the summer, and not so busy in winter. And for some reason they closed, and I never figured out why. And we rented the place out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Then they started a grocery store and snack bar.
Okay, so it was a lot smaller then.
And we always had to work at that. Rush home from church to sell ice cream.
What kind of ice cream did you sell the most of? Was there a flavor that you sold a lot of?
Or? Oh, no, there was all kinds. We had half a dozen flavors. I used to hate digging out chocolate because it was so hard. Yeah, it was a pretty busy place at one time, but then it all went... Well, once you got the two superstores, then it
Yeah, kind of changed things, I bet. Yeah. So what kind of, like, you worked at the front counter then?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I did a lot. Even when we're at the restaurant, I was working in the restaurant.
Okay.
Either on the till or cleaning tables or...
Yeah.
Learned to roll coins from... Because the guy would come in from the jukebox and the pinball machine and roll up all the coins.
Oh, my gosh.
I've been involved in money all my life. Yeah, because I ended up working for the bank.
Okay.
Toronto Dominion Bank, so it's all in... And then I worked for Ministry of Natural Resources.
Okay.
Lands and Forests originally. I ended up in charge of all the money coming in and out of the park.
Oh, yeah, they have a lot. I worked there 2 summers ago.
Oh, yeah?
They have a lot of cash for sure going through there. I worked at the gate selling the passes.
Oh, yeah?
And so at the end of the day, counting up that money, whew, can just imagine.
And you get the larger checks, like from all the concessions at Two Rivers and
Opiongo. Oh, yeah.
And then all the timber dues from Algonquin Forestry Authority.
Yeah, yeah.
The staffing is altogether different now. I don't know how many, there's not very many staff. Everything's contracted. I think when I was doing the payroll, there was 72 on permanent staff.
Wow.
And we had over 300 on casual staff.
Yeah, yeah.
And all I did was the payroll. There's no computers. We had to use 3 books, the income tax,
yeah,
CPP and EI, and then every other pay was OHIP.
Oh my gosh. That would take so
And I had a good
long.
Helper with me, Elaine Siegel. She was fabulous. Yeah, she
yeah.
was... That's all we did. And then sometimes we couldn't even work because there might have been a compassionate in the park, someone. Mm-hmm. So they would call every campground on the bush form, which was a crank form, which was on my desk. So if they're cranking, the desk is moving, I can't write.
Oh, of course not. Oh my gosh. That's something I would never think of because now, like when I was working there, it's so different.
It's all...
Yeah.
Modern phones.
Yeah, and they have their computers and whatever else. But
yeah, and there's all just a bush line. Cache Lake, I remember, was 5 long and a short.
That's funny how you remember those kinds of things, eh? Yeah. How long did you work in the park for?
A little over 29 years.
Okay, so you were there for quite a while.
I was 3 years with the Toronto Dominion Bank.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did you prefer the park or...?
I got sick when I was working for the bank, and
okay.
They asked me to leave. They wouldn't be able to do that now.
No, there's no way they would be allowed to.
It turned out for the best. I got a lot better job, closer to home.
Hey, that's true. Were you always living here in Bears Bay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Except for the years in the bank, I was a year in Kitchener, 2 in London.
Oh, okay. Okay, so you ended up coming back home then.
Yeah.
Back to Bears Bay. So we'll go back kind of to your childhood. So you were saying when you went to school, they had the different streets. So would your sisters, before you kind of, I guess, because you live up here, right? Up on...
On Main Street.
Yeah. So would you guys have to separate right on Main Street and then walk down?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We couldn't walk together.
Oh, my gosh. Did you ever race back and forth who got there first? No. You just... kind of did your own thing. You and Donnie probably went. How many years younger is he than you?
2.5.
2.5. So pretty close in age.
Yeah, we had our own playgrounds too. The boys on one end and the girls on the other.
Oh, you didn't even have the same playground.
Boys were...
Did you have different, I guess, things to do on? Like, would the girls do skipping and the boys do
I don't know
other
what the
stuff?
Girls did. Boys played sports and ball and...
Yeah. Oh, so you couldn't even see the girls' side?
No.
Oh, it was very
The girls
separate.
Were where the red school is now, mm-hmm. and the boys were in the main... parking lot now.
Oh, okay.
Then after to go in, everybody had to line up with their one shoulder.
Oh my gosh. Hand on the shoulder.
And line up, and then once everybody is straight and loud, then we're allowed in.
Oh my gosh, and not before then. Yeah, I don't think you could do that with kids nowadays. I think they would not listen that well. And then in high school, it was a bit different because it was mixed, right? Or
oh,
no?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No separate playgrounds there.
Well, that I don't know. I think the playgrounds were separate there, too.
Oh, okay.
I'm not really sure of that.
Yeah.
At least I didn't have far to go to school, pretty well across the road.
Yeah, so you could leave at the last minute, right?
I did.
You just woke up out of bed and just walked down
I was probably late every day.
Did you ever get in trouble for being late?
No.
They were a little more relaxed with that. That's pretty funny. What's one of your favorite memories from working at the store up there?
I don't know about the memories, but I think the best part about having the store was getting to know all the local people.
Mm-hmm.
You see, to come into the store and you greet them and meet them and get to know them and keep up our Polish language, our Kashub language.
Oh, okay. Did you speak Kashub at home then?
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to speak Kashub. Every summer I went to my grandparents' farm.
Okay.
Well, for many summers. Never had to learn Kashub because I'm Polish, because my grandfather knew no English.
Oh, okay.
So it was very fortunate for me, I was lucky.
Yeah.
The only trouble now is there's nobody to speak with. My parents are dead, so I don't have nobody to talk to in Polish. And I have a friend or two that comes over and talk, but it's unfortunate. It's going to disappear. And we didn't even realize, we didn't even talk Polish. It's Kashub. Totally
exactly.
Different language.
And that is, it's completely different. Because I know sometimes when I'm up at the manor, they'll say, this is how you say it. And then someone said, that's Kashub, this is Polish. And it's just, like, sometimes slightly different. And other times, sounds like completely different words. So, yeah, it's interesting how it's similar, but very different.
Yeah, different pronunciation. I could tell you, give you an example. We're going to church on Sunday. We would say, Puja Badakosta Vedala. The Polish way, Pujemi do kościoła w niedzielę.
Yeah, that does sound different, for sure. See, I only know three words in Kashub, and one of them I'm not supposed to say. So
yeah, I was going
to. I learned some of the not so good ones, but yeah, you can pick up how it's different, even though I don't speak it. But
I never say now that I understand it, but don't speak it. Two men were talking that way, and one said to the other, I understand it, but I don't speak it. And the other said to me, yes, I have a dog like that.
Yeah, that's some wise advice. Don't say that. Can get into trouble. So, did your siblings work in the store as well?
Oh, we all had to. There was no such thing as choice.
You didn't get a choice. It was, you got to do it. Family run business then.
Oh, yes. We all had to.
And did the girls and boys have the same kind of job, or were they kind of different?
Probably all the same. It didn't really matter. Yeah, we all had to come in and serve the people, especially on Sunday mornings. I've had to open quick because people come from church. So we all had different.
Would they come for breakfast, or what would they get on the Sunday?
Oh, no. Once we had the store. Well, probably when we had the restaurant, yes, but I don't remember too much of that.
Yeah, because you were six, right?
Yeah, but even we had the restaurant for about 10 years anyway, but so.
Oh, okay.
So
do you ever remember, did you ever get a chance to go to those hockey games, or were you always working?
Oh, no, we went to the games too.
Yeah.
We could. Oh, yeah, we weren't slaves.
No.
Had to do our part.
Yeah. I heard there was a pretty big rivalry at those hockey games sometimes.
Oh, yes, always.
Did you ever play or no?
No, I was never good in sports.
Yeah.
Millie Zilny had a Hamburg stand or something right across the road from us.
Okay.
So after a hockey game, this is after our restaurant was closed, everybody would come there for hamburgers. Of course, after a dance, everybody's all ginned up. And it was pretty lively. One day I went down, what was it, about 1:30 in the morning, 2 o'clock, and I went quietly downstairs because I couldn't sleep. My window was facing the highway.
Oh, no.
I didn't want to, I went quietly so not to wake my parents up. They were already sitting in the sunroom. They couldn't sleep either, so they were just watching all the excitement.
1 or 2 in the morning. Oh, my gosh.
After the
Where were the dances held?
At Plevin's Dance Hall.
Oh, okay.
It's a bookstore now, I think.
Okay. Oh, I know where you mean.
That was a real...
Kind of going out of town towards Cumbermere?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good place. That was a good place. I used to work there too.
What did you do there?
Yeah, everybody had to, of course, they paid, and then there was a blue light. They were stamped and had to make sure that they were allowed to come in.
Oh, okay, okay.
I always felt sorry for Ambrose Plevin. He owned the place because sometimes all he was doing was breaking up fights. I remember one Shrove Tuesday, there was about 80 or 100 people in there, and around 11 o'clock, the whole works were fighting.
And there's only one of him, too. Oh, my gosh. How old were you when you worked there?
Oh, probably 15 or 16.
So you were pretty young yet. Good thing you didn't have to break up any of the
fights.
Wouldn't want to do that at that age, or any age, really.
But that was a good place to go on a Saturday, like the dancing. Everybody loved to dance. Joe Poplinski and his family were the musicians.
Oh, okay.
Fiddle and Joe, sons Donnie and Cyril, oh my God, he's a good fiddler. Cyril Popinski, his son.
Mm-hmm.
He was only 9 years old then.
And he would stay up all night?
Well, they fiddled.
Yeah.
And it was always the same routine, a square dance, waltz, polka, a couple of round dances and rock and roll, then back to the square dance, waltz, polka.
It was always the same order.
Yeah, that's where I learned to dance.
Oh, really?
I love it. I have an excellent dance partner, Teresa Prince. You interviewed her.
Yeah, I did. She told me that she would dance with you, and you guys tore up the dance floor by the sounds of it. I've heard that from a few people.
We never stopped for any. We danced every dance.
That's awesome. That would sure probably make you tired by the end of the night.
Well, sometimes we did two in a row. Go to Bryson on Saturday and some Eagle on Sunday. And
oh, okay.
I don't know if I could do it now, but I still can. And we miss, that's what we miss now, the dances.
Yeah, because you guys were still going, right? Yeah.
But like one fellow says, once this age group is gone, that's the end of the dances.
Yeah, I think...
Nobody your age knows how to dance anymore.
No, I learned square dancing once at a summer camp, but it wasn't around here. It was in Aurelia, and we did square dancing there. But I don't really remember it. Maybe if I did it again, it would come back to me, but...
Oh, square dancing is easy.
Yeah, I remember it was pretty easy once you did it a few times, but at first I was so confused, but it's fun. It was so much fun. I still remember.
For a while we were going to Petawawa.
Okay.
A man by the name of Winston Stewart, they call him Wink.
Okay.
One of the nicest men I've ever known in my life. He put on square dancing every Monday night in a church basement. He knew 49 different calls.
Oh my gosh.
And he'd have maybe 24 to 36 people show up. And it was all recorded music.
That's awesome.
And he called.
So which dances would you say were the best? The ones here or the ones in Eganville? Which ones were better? It just depended.
Oh, they're pretty well all the same, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I was putting on two dance a year now, every year on my birthday.
Okay.
So, yeah. Of course, this year I missed. And
yeah, you can't this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, I had two of them planned for this year, one last Saturday and... one in September for Teresa's birthday.
Oh, that would have been so much fun.
And they can't get people to come to a dance here, but when I put on a dance, there's about 110, 120 people show up.
Oh my, are people from around here?
Mostly from Eganville, Pembroke, Quebec.
Yeah. Oh, from all over they come.
Yeah, because we go to Bryson, we were going to Bryson every Saturday, so we met a lot of people there.
Oh,
that's the nicest thing about these dances. You get to meet so many nice people.
Mm-hmm.
Really fabulous people.
Yeah, I'm sure of it. It's a nice social thing, too. It's not just the dancing.
Yeah, it's social, and you get exercise, and lunch at Lebanon.
Oh, yeah, better food included.
And the price is outrageous.
Oh, really?
$10.
Oh, that's not too bad. For a day of fun, I think I might start looking into it once it comes back.
That's right. I was in Ottawa one time. I had gone to a meeting, and they decided to go to a bar after. Well, there was... You had to first of all park. There was a $5 cover charge and the drinks for $5. And I said, holy God, I go to Maynooth for a dance. I pay $5 and that includes a lunch at 11.
Exactly. And you get a dance. That's pretty funny. Yeah, I guess that's not too bad, though. $10. I would have thought it would be more. No, that's nice.
Eagleville is only $8.
Oh, that's even
but
better.
You bring something, a lunch, or sandwiches or square or cheese or something.
Oh, so it's all homemade food, too, from up there. So your mom used to make, you were saying, 45 pies.
Yeah, before.
Yeah.
Well, we were really busy, like I say, in the summer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Prices, of course, are a lot different. I remember a hamburger was a quarter, cheeseburger was 35 cents.
Wow.
Ice cream was six, a double, 12 cents. I remember there was a real fuss raised when bottle of pop went from 6 cents to seven. We're not paying that extra.
1 cent. Could you imagine now?
Coffee was a dime.
So a lot of people did people come in daily for their coffee?
Not like now, no.
No, it's not like people going to Tim Hortons every day. And that's more expensive than 10 cents. that's very, very different, I would say. So when you guys got your supplies and stuff, was it local or did it come shipped in?
Oh, it come shipped in. There are all these travelers come.
Oh, okay.
Now everybody... I don't know how they order now. It's all computerized, I suppose. But
yeah.
We ordered to have travelers come in and and you'd order the groceries from them. The summertime, you'd have the fruit and vegetable trucks come in.
Mm-hmm.
Even our pop and all the all the confectionaries, chocolate bars and all that stuff, that all came by from Renfrew Bottle Works Traveller.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the fruit and vegetables, that was mostly in the summer they came. We used to call them Summertime Charlies.
Summertime Charlies. I like that. Would they have, like, the fruits and veggies on the truck and then just pick what you want?
Just pick what you want, yeah.
Oh, okay. That would be very convenient.
Yeah, it was.
But they would just go to the businesses then?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. It wasn't, like, home to home?
Oh, no, no. Just the businesses.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was all small little stores. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My uncles, Leonard and Raphael, had a grocery store.
Okay.
Where the jewelry store is now.
Oh, at Burke's there? Oh, okay.
And then right beside them was Sobolsky's store, okay. Where the paper is now.
Okay.
And across the road from us was a grocery store, Dominic Koulis's.
Oh, okay.
And on Bay Street was August Koulis's, and then Julian Hearn. All little stores.
Yeah, none of those big ones. When did the big stores come?
I forget what year. Well, there was one bigger store at the time,
mm-hmm.
Kitts Red and White.
Okay.
Where the McDougall's Insurance is now.
Oh, okay. Yes, yeah.
They were in business when we were.
Yeah.
But again, it's a lot smaller than
the
stores now.
Yeah.
I think the first store, big store, was at the Food Master, I think it was called. I'm not even sure what it was called.
I don't remember anymore.
Where the auto parts dealer is now. And Valley Mart, I think, one time was super safe. We bought all our groceries before. We had the store from Koulis's across the road. So if we're short or something, we just ran across the road and got some loaf of bread or whatever we needed, marked it on the bill.
And then just pay off the tab later kind of thing.
And most people bought everything on credit.
Yeah.
We had a lot of credit.
So they would just have an account then and then you add it to that?
People paid at the end of the month.
Oh, okay.
The funny part was, people that didn't make a whole lot, maybe working at Murray's or in the bush, at every month, they paid their bill and then start over again. But we had some school teachers who made good money. They couldn't pay their bills. And some left their bills.
Really? It's interesting. They make less, but they manage to pay it off. I don't think that's changed much, honestly.
Probably poor management, I don't know. One summer I worked at my uncle and aunt's restaurant in Deakin. It's the Chinese restaurant now.
Oh, okay, yeah.
My uncle and aunt owned that.
Before?
So I worked there. They started the restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and they sold gas.
Well, there used to be
so
gas
I worked there, too.
When you were still a teenager, or what?
Oh, yeah, 15 or 16 or something.
Yeah. Did you prefer working there to your parents, or no?
Oh, I don't remember.
Well, both is pretty much probably pretty similar, right?
Well, there I got paid.
Oh, so better yet. Did you know a lot of the people who went to their restaurant?
No, I wouldn't have known anybody.
They're probably not the locals from here, definitely not.
Yeah, but the best was working at my grandparents' farm.
Where was your grandparents' farm?
Just north of Wilno.
Okay.
Tom
I live in the northern part of Wilno there.
Oh yeah? They're Tom Chipier.
Okay. I know some Chipiers, but I don't know.
Do you know Eddie Chipier?
Yes.
Their farm was just below my grandparents.
Oh, okay. That's a beautiful area there, yeah.
And the funny, I loved going there.
Mm-hmm.
And my uncle, he didn't have much money. But he insisted on paying me $5 a day.
Wow, that was big money then too, wasn't it?
I didn't want to even accept it. He said, you're working here, you have to get paid.
It's interesting how people with less money are often more generous, isn't it? I think maybe they understand more. I guess. I don't know what it is. I've noticed that, too.
It's the most generous people in Canada, I would say, the Newfoundlanders.
Oh, really?
I'll give you a story about the Newfoundlanders. There was a couple from Canada. They were originally from Argentina. They lived in Ottawa. They were holidaying, vacationing in Newfoundland. They were climbing up Signal Hill
mm-hmm.
with their two teenagers. The teenagers had left. They were discussing what trails they were going to go hiking on. Two Newfoundland ladies heard them and interrupted and said, we've been on all these trails. We can give you some hints if you'd like. Okay. So they're talking, and then in the conversation, one lady says to them, one thing about these trails, you have to have a car. You do have a car, don't you?
Oh, no.
They said, no, we don't. When we got to the airport, all the cars were gone, so we've got a taxi. That's crazy. You need a car.
Mm-hmm.
Take mine. They had never met them before.
Wow.
The lady tourist, she was so shocked, she just left. They walked, couldn't believe it, and came back. By this time, their husband had agreed to take the car. They went to their place, got their car, had it for 2 weeks, and when they came back, she made dinner for them.
Wow.
Like, would you give somebody you've never met before your car?
No.
Just because they don't have one?
That's trust and very generous. Oh my gosh, yeah. I've never heard of something like that. I've never been to Newfoundland, but I've heard a lot of good things about the people there.
I've been there a couple times. You go.
Yeah. Well, the landscape alone, but the people
The people are fabulous.
My mom and I went to go see that play. I think it's based in Newfoundland. What's it called? Come From Away? That one? About when the flight had to land there. It's a good story. I never knew that because I was so small at the time when that happened, but it was good. So definitely good outlook on Newfoundland.
Yeah, if you ever see the movie, it's worth watching.
Oh, there's a movie too. Yeah. Okay, I'll have to look for it because the play was really, really well done.
Yeah, but the movie's almost in one way better because it gives you the feel of it.
Yeah.
I was a beautiful place. There's Twillingate. If you ever want to go to a place, that's what a beautiful spot.
Okay. I'm going to write that down. I'll have to remember that.
Twillingate.
Twillingate.
It's right on the ocean. Of course, most of the places are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there twice. Once, each with a different friend. Once with Bill, we had a trailer, and once fellow by the nickname of Cooner. We flew over and rented a car and we had a fabulous time.
Mm-hmm. It's always nice when you have the freedom with a car. You can kind of go wherever then.
Yeah. And on the west side, the further north you go towards St. Anthony,
mm-hmm.
the harder it is to understand the people.
Oh, their accent gets thicker and thicker.
In fact, it's almost impossible. Even the Newfies don't understand them.
That's pretty funny. I'm going to need a translator if I go... That's funny.
Yeah, we knew a fellow here at Madonna House, and he asked us to go visit his mother. She lived in the southern part of Newfoundland.
Oh, okay.
There's a hunter, several miles. So she invited us in. She told us how foggy it was there sometimes. She
said,
fog's thicker than a gallon of shit in a quart jug.
Oh my gosh, I've never heard that expression. I might have to start using that. She was probably a little bit older.
Oh, yes.
Didn't expect that from her.
And she gave us a fabulous meal.
Good laugh, too. Oh, my gosh.
We had a lot of, that was a good trip.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
I traveled with Bill Gallette. He bought a trailer.
Oh, I did an interview with Bill Gallette, too.
Yeah. And before he bought the trailer, his wife said, you can buy it if you like, but I'm not traveling in no trailer. So I traveled with him quite a bit.
Yeah.
One time we were gone about 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Left here as far as the Mexican border, then drove all along the Mexican-U.S. border to where we were going, to the spa in California.
Very nice.
We were only there 3 days, and we drove north to visit his nephew in Vancouver.
Okay.
Then my cousin in Campbell River.
Mm-hmm.
Then we drove back down along the California coast, or along the coast.
Mm-hmm.
Highway 1, I think it's called the Coastal Highway.
I think so, yeah.
Because it was still winter, so he didn't want to drive across Canada. So drove back down to California,
made a
stop at Las Vegas on the way home, and then we're gone 6 weeks. Had a fabulous trip.
That's a pretty far distance to travel in 6 weeks still, I would think.
Yeah, we were moving a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I would imagine you were driving quite a bit. Wow, that would have been a good trip, though.
We did that a few times. Went to Newfoundland with him, further out west, went to visit his sister at Ray Lakes, which is 100 miles north of Yellowknife, had to fly there.
Wow, probably would have been a little chilly.
That's in the summer.
Oh, in the summertime it's quite warm up.
Oh yeah, it's just as warm as here.
Oh, okay. Huh. I guess you always think of it as being very cold up there, but...
No.
Especially not now with the global warming, huh? Probably warming up.
Yeah, Ray Lakes. I often say I spent a week there one weekend. That was the most boring weekend of my life there.
Nothing there. Made Bears Bay seem like it was a booming town.
And half the people weren't there. They were gone on some retreat or something. So Native village,
yeah? Yeah. So
nothing there.
Himself.
Thank God his sister had a laptop computer. I played a lot of solitaire.
Hey, sometimes you gotta do that on vacation. That's funny.
There was nothing else to do there.
Yeah.
And his sister loved it there. She was a nun.
Okay.
And working there.
Yeah.
He really enjoyed it there.
Yeah. What did your sisters end up doing? Do they all live around here? Or did
One lives in Kitchener.
Okay.
She worked for Rubberline for many years.
Mm-hmm.
One lives in Toronto.
Okay.
She's a music teacher.
Okay.
Sylvia lived here. She was married. She has two daughters.
Okay.
She was in real estate. They're all pretty well retired now. Joanie worked for a different organization. They were, what do you call them? They looked after apartment houses.
Oh, like landlords or kind of thing.
Not landlords. They didn't own the place. They were their caretakers, or whatever you call them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Mary Jane worked out, and then she worked for years at home. She had her own store here. Her initials MJP, so she called it My Jean Place.
Oh, that's cute.
She was working in Toronto, but she came home because my mother got sick.
Oh, okay.
So she came home to look after her.
Yeah.
Did I catch them all, Johnny or Jane? Hello. Hello, yeah.
And then you and Donnie both stayed here for the majority.
Yeah, he worked in Kitchener for a few years.
Okay.
But then he came home to manage the store.
Oh, okay. So he was taking care of the store
there.
Did you ever manage the store or no?
Not really, no.
No.
I was involved in it all the years, but not to a large degree.
Yeah.
Did the paperwork.
I think that definitely helped you with your other jobs working in the park and that, I'm sure.
I was good with numbers, nothing else, but numbers, yes.
See, I'm not so good with numbers myself, so I definitely can give you kudos on that one.
Yeah, math was my best subject. The others weren't so hot, but...
What other kind of classes did you have?
What other kind of...
classes did you have in high school and grade school? Was it just, like, English?
Well, English. Yeah, English composition, English grammar, algebra, geometry, French, Latin, physics, and chemistry.
Oh, okay. You guys learned Latin here. Was that because of, in church, they would speak Latin?
I don't know. Latin was always taught here.
Oh.
Every grade.
Yeah.
And from grade 9.
I don't think
it was in the elementary school. But...
yeah. And then the French. I'm surprised about the French.
Yes, and I don't know any words in French other than merci beaucoup.
Hey,
if you don't use it, you...
yeah, you lose it. Use it or lose it, I guess, as they say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same as a cashew now.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure your cashew's probably a bit better than your French, I'm sure.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, because you used it at home and that, so probably made a difference.
I was learning a little bit of Spanish, and I got to know quite a few words, because I was going to Cuba every year for about 7 years. I really got to know the people there. I went to the same place every year.
Oh, okay. That must have been nice, familiar faces when you go on vacation.
Yeah, I'd like to go back again to meet some of them. A lot of poverty there, but I got to meet a lot of nice people. That's one thing I did in later years. I did a lot of traveling.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely want to travel more in my life. Lots of.
I think I've seen the Seven Wonders.
Really? That's very impressive. Not many people can say that.
If I don't know if I could even name them, huh? On one trip to Peru, we were there for a while, and then I ended up staying there an extra 4 days.
Oops. But not quite oops. It probably good.
It was an oops, yeah.
How did that happen?
We were in the airport. I got through ticket and clearance, and we were just waiting to get to board.
Yeah.
When it was a time to board, I didn't have a passport.
Oh, no. You had lost it?
I did at that time. Luckily, the sister was still there, Sister Pauline Colterman, and she was able to call some people, and they looked after me. They took me to two different hotels, but I didn't stay in either one because they wouldn't take you without a passport. So it was a place called Caritas. They looked after distributing poor and everything. So they cleared out an office, put in a bed for me, and I stayed there, had to file a police report.
Wow.
Went to the embassy, and I got a temporary passport 3 days later. And they were given an option. You can go on standby on Monday or the definite on Wednesday. I took the definite.
Probably duct taped that to your body after you got that passport.
And my car was in Ottawa. I had flown from Ottawa. When I got to Toronto, they took the temporary passport away. Now I had no passport to get to Ottawa.
Oh, no.
But I was able to... I had a credit card. I was able to talk my way in.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to Ottawa.
Yeah, because that's quite a distance between Toronto.
But it's quite an experience being there on my own.
I would imagine so.
I don't speak Spanish.
Yeah, yeah.
To make a police report. And
oh,
I was well looked after.
Yeah, well, luckily... yeah, I guess that's one way to learn Spanish really fast. I would say so.
Yeah, I went to Machu Picchu. I think that's one of the, went to the Taj Mahal.
Wow.
What a beautiful place.
Yeah.
That was with, I sponsor some kids with Compassion.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a visit to India to visit the child you're sponsoring.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was our only touristy spot.
The rest.
He told us, this is your tourist day. And the next day, he said, from now on, you're ambassadors of Canada, which I said, I guess made sense. But that was an interesting trip. We went into Delhi and then we went into the mountains. My God, it was, I was, spent the coldest night ever in a in a hotel there.
Who would have thought in India?
Well, you're in the Himalayas.
Exactly.
That was quite a trip up that mountain.
I bet.
Or any place there was wires across the road, somebody had to get on the little minibus. We had to lift the wires up so we could crawl on it.
Oh, my God.
Calcutta. Then went to Chennai. Pretty well covered a lot of India.
I would say so.
Calcutta was pretty dirty. Went to Mother Teresa's place. It was a comical event there because one of the Compassion staffers were warning us before we got off the bus. He says, wall-to-wall people, because beside Mother Teresa's place is also an Indian holy place.
Oh, okay.
So there's wall-to-wall people. He says, be very careful, there's pickpockets there.
Yeah.
So when we got back on a bus, he went to look at his watch. It was gone.
Oh, the irony of him telling you, be careful, and then he gets something stolen. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if that was the first time that happened to him, or if it's the second and that's
how. We felt so sorry for him. We took up a collection. They buy him another watch, but they refused it, so Compassion bought it for him, I think.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's a funny story. Unfortunate, but pretty funny. Did you always want to travel? Or not until you were...
Till later, I guess. I traveled quite a bit. That was a Compassion trip to India. I also went to Haiti.
Okay.
And Dominican Republic.
You've been all over then.
I'd like to go to Bangladesh, but I think I'm just going to lose that boy now. He's 21, so... Oh, yeah, one trip we went to... Teresa's sister, Rose, she arranged some of these trips. She wanted to travel all over the place. So one trip we went, I think we had 11 flights. We flew to Quito, Ecuador,
mm-hmm.
and we had a short flight to another town in Ecuador
mm-hmm.
before we flew to the Galapagos Islands.
Okay.
Then back again to Quito, then to Lima.
Oh my gosh.
Then to in Brazil, Rio de Janeiro.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And, oh no, another, first of all, we stopped at a place to go to the falls there.
In Brazil, or?
Itaqua Falls, or they're even bigger than Niagara Falls.
Oh, I know, I'm thinking of falls, but they're not the right ones. But I know which ones you mean, yeah.
We didn't, it was pouring rain, so we, it wasn't a very good day. Then we flew to Rio.
Yeah.
And then from there we flew to Manaus, Brazil, so we could sail on the Amazon.
Oh, I want to go there so badly. So you've seen it all pretty much.
And another good trip was when we went to Nigeria. No,
okay.
Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
We were there a week. That was an interesting trip.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine.
And we were there a week, and then we flew to Egypt, and we were on the Nile for a few days, and we were in Egypt when the uprising took place. Yeah, half our trip from the airport to the from the hotel to the airport took 4 hours, and we're another 4 hours in the airport trying to get out.
Yeah, I bet the security was pretty tight at that time.
There was only two people in the airport looking after the full airport, one at a time. Our flight was supposed to be at 2 o'clock in the morning. We left at 4 o'clock the next day.
Oh my gosh. Well, I guess with two people, what else can they really do? But
yeah, but where were all the rest? I think there's, I don't know, I think they're trying to, I don't know if they're trying to keep the people in. And then Teresa had to go to the washroom at the last minute.
Oh no.
So she went, and by the time she came back, we went to the gate that was, we were told to go,
mm-hmm.
but it had already been closed. We almost ended up in Tripoli, in Libya.
Oh my gosh.
But they caught this air, so they took us by a little bus to the aircraft. As soon as we were on board, they closed the door and left. We were the last ones.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
People got kind of scared once the jets start flowing just over the hotel, eh?
Yeah, yeah. Understand.
We weren't allowed to be in the main floors of the hotel. We had to stay in our room. All the rest of the place was dark. All the staff was outside with chains and baseball bats to keep away the...
That would have been quite the experience. Not such a good one, though.
But it was just worthwhile.
Yeah.
Worth remembering.
Well, yeah, you don't think you'd forget that anytime soon. Definitely not.
Another good trip, one I didn't want to go to, was Antarctica.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that that's a really, really nice trip.
I'm thinking there's enough ice here. Why do I want to go there?
Yeah, I'm cold enough here.
But it was a very educational trip. We had scientists on the ship.
Okay.
Telling us every day, giving us information. And then the scientists from Antarctica came on board.
Oh, cool.
And gave us talks. And
when did you go on that trip?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up. A
couple of years ago, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'd say one of the best trips was to Israel and Jordan. It turned out, we landed in Tel Aviv and went across southern Israel into Jordan. And it turned out that Jordan was more a trip through the Old Testament.
Okay.
And Israel, the New Testament. We got baptized again in the Jordan River. The guide in Jordan was fabulous.
Guides can really make a difference on a trip, for sure.
The guide makes the difference, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We had a stop at Petra. Have you ever seen it?
I don't think so. I'm going to have to look up half of these places. Some of them are familiar.
I could show you Petra after it. For the, I forget the name of the Nativ, but no, I forget. An ancient civilization where they carved right out of the rock.
Oh, okay.
It's really...
Oh, you got a whole book on it. I think I watched a documentary on TV about this.
Yes, that's an interesting place to go to. It was all right going in there. It's kind of all downhill, but going up was kind of we were beat, tired.
Yeah, I bet.
But it was...
It's huge.
It was an interesting trip. I would recommend it to anybody. And the price was amazing. I don't know how they did it. It was a 19-day trip, and the price included airfare, accommodation, the buses along the route, breakfast and dinner every day, and all the tips. $5,600.
Really? I would expect that to be a lot more.
Oh, yeah. I think it was practically free.
Pretty much. Did you ever travel, with your family here? Did you guys ever go on trips?
Oh, my sisters and I have gone on cruises.
Yeah, but when you were younger, your family didn't.
Not really, no.
No.
Oh, then, no, no.
No, they were more homebodies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the trip in Israel gave you a clearer picture of the Israeli-Palestinian situation. But in a way, each day we were there, it almost became more confusing.
Mm-hmm.
It's anybody that says they're going to solve that problem anytime soon is nuts.
Yeah.
And our guide was a Palestinian Christian.
Okay.
And he was so afraid of the Israeli that he made us carry our passports all the time. And
yeah.
He was just so fearful. And in some cases, you could see why. But we went to all the different sites. It was packed. It was packed.
Mm-hmm.
Each day was packed with stuff to do.
Yeah, kept you busy for those 19 days.
Oh, there was no rest.
You probably came home and slept for a few days.
I end up having to take a sleeping pill every night for the last 50 years.
Oh.
When I came home from that trip, I didn't take a pill for a week.
I would imagine so. It tuckered you out.
I don't travel well, but I don't sleep well on a trip. I only slept about 4 hours a day as it was.
Oh my gosh, I would be exhausted.
But I would recommend that trip to anybody, especially we had the man looking after the trip, he and his wife, he was an Anglican minister.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He was fabulous. Yeah, he was really good. And the people on the our crew was very good too. And I've been to Poland a couple of times too. That was interesting too. You can go back to your homeland. And
did you see anything from your family there? Or?
Oh yes, we visited some in the area where we came from, and visited a few cemeteries too. A lot of the names here, of course, there. Yeah.
So you're Polish or Kashub, right? So was it your great-grandparents or was it farther back that came from Poland here?
Great-grandparents, yeah.
Great-grandparents, okay.
Well, my grandmother came from Poland.
Oh, okay. The one in Wilno?
Yeah.
Chipier? Okay.
Grandfather, I don't know. I don't know. But my paternal grandparents lived here, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's funny.
Born here, I mean.
Yeah, yeah. And then your parents were both born, well... And well-known Bears Bay, then.
Yeah. Well, my dad was born in Killaloe.
Oh, okay. So he grew up in Killaloe? Or he was just born there?
Oh, he was just born... He was born there. Mm-hmm. But they lived on a farm in Fog Lake.
Oh, okay.
My grandfather was a businessman. He had the grocery store here. He had a meat market in town here.
Okay.
He had a hotel in Killaloe. He had a sawmill.
He had a hotel... I didn't know there was a hotel in Killaloe. What kind of people would stay there? Would you know or no?
to travel in public.
Not specific groups of people, I guess. Whoever needed a place to stay.
And I think there was, I think he had a bar there, a pub or something.
Oh, okay.
Well, he was quite a businessman.
I would say so. Three businesses, that's pretty good, I would say. Three in total.
I think he was charged once for selling liquor without a license, which...
But he was still able to have his business then after.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the hotel burnt after a while.
The one in Killaloo there?
But there's still one there, yeah.
Is it the
right
one
in the
where
corner?
The gas station is there, kind of?
No. You know where the hardware store is? Right across the road.
Oh, I didn't know that. There was a hotel there?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay. Where was his located?
That's
where it is? Or was it?
I think so.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that. It probably burnt before you
were
born.
Oh, yeah. I forget when.
Yeah. Was there a lot of more fires back then? Before? Seems like it almost.
Yeah, we don't have the fire equipment like now.
Yeah. And I guess homes were built differently and stuff.
All out of wood. Like in Egan, but almost the whole town burnt.
Oh. Like the one side of it, right?
Both sides. And it was started by a couple of kids. The whole town pretty well burnt. Well, I think Barrysby is all, the two communities, Polish and Irish. Not like Eganville had
the river.
The Catholics were on one side of the river and Protestant on the other.
Mm-hmm. That was definitely more divided, I think.
Bill Gled was a Catholic, but they lived on the Protestant side.
Ooh, must have been interesting growing up there, I would think. But here it wasn't as much a difference because most people were Catholic, right? Or would you say an even mix?
Most, yeah.
Yeah, it was just the different churches that people kind of went. So
because of language.
You went to the St. Hedwig's Church here?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you remember going to church there?
Oh, yes. I was an altar boy.
Oh, okay.
My brother was too. Oh, yeah.
Did you like that job or not so much?
Oh, yeah.
Was there a lot of altar boys?
Oh, there were. Oh, yes. There was at least 30 or 40 at least.
Wow.
All the young boys, I pretty well liked the altar boys.
Yeah. And then were the girls, did they have to sing or what? They didn't have to. No?
We had a fabulous choir before with Sister Conrad.
Okay.
She was, that's one lady that I think through herself and her family made a tremendous contribution to Barry's Bay with Mrs. Shalla, Elizabeth Shalla. Her husband died young and she raised a family by herself. One of her daughters was Zita, married to Bronis Kowczewski. She was very, and then another daughter was Sister Conrad. She had the choir, and Zita took over after Sister Conrad died.
Mm-hmm.
Sister Conrad was a fabulous person. Her son was Eddie Shalla, who was the postmaster in Barrysby.
Oh, okay.
Soloist in the organ.
Mm-hmm.
We had a fabulous choir before. All the men and women, and the kalendi at Christmas time were beautiful. I had the CD that John Kowczewski made. Thank God for him. He was, and there's another, he's a grandson too. Funny how one person can influence so many.
Was Mass at Christmas time special?
Oh, yes.
Yeah? Do you remember?
And how different it is. Like, before, if you weren't at church for 11, for the midnight Mass, very unlikely you got a seat.
Oh.
And it was the full church, and we had a gallery at the time, too, on both sides. And it was two stories. Last year, I went to midnight Mass at 11:30. There was two people in the church. There was more up by midnight, because of the 8 o'clock Mass now in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody goes in the evening.
What do you remember about Christmas growing up? What did Christmas look like for you?
Well, at our place there was always a big crowd. Santa Claus would come and all those presents. My brother played the violin, I played the fiddle, the piano. We had music, and there was always our place was always a busting place with all kinds of people always come over. And there's one man came every day, a time that doesn't matter if we're open or closed. He wanted to buy a pack of cigarettes.
Consistent, huh?
But we always had a full house.
Even on
lots
Christmas.
To eat, big turkey on the table. One year I got a cuckoo clock for Christmas.
Oh, really?
My parents went to midnight Mass, and while they were gone, I took it apart to see what made it work.
Were you able to put it back
no.
together? Oh, no. I guess they figured out when it was no longer cuckooing, huh? Oh, how old were you when you got that?
Oh, I don't know. I was pretty young.
Yeah. It's funny how you remember sometimes specific gifts you got at Christmas. And
yeah.
So you guys were a pretty musical family, right?
Well, yeah, I'm sure.
I think you might be too humble.
No. Donnie's a good fiddle player. He had his, that was his biggest loss.
He was very...
You've never heard
him? I have, I think.
He made a CD. The only trouble with the CD, I find, is the background music isn't good enough to...
Not as loud enough.
Or somehow, yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was good. He played at a lot of dances.
Yeah. Would he play, did he ever play at the dance here?
No, he played in Elysian, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It went, because the that dance hall was closed for many years.
Yeah, yeah.
But he played at the Legion here. He played in Eagleville and Pembroke, Quebec. He had his own band. They had his own band, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's his biggest loss, I think, yeah.
Yeah. That's a tough thing, especially when you do it so much and you love it.
He did. Yeah, he practiced a lot.
Mhm. Mm-hmm. Well, to be that good, I think you need to. And you played piano growing up.
Yeah, now it's covered in books. I don't touch it.
We have a piano at our house, and it looks the same way, so don't need to feel too bad.
I'll have to either buy a bigger house or get rid of some stuff.
One or the other.
Books all over the place.
Hey, books. Books are good. I have books all over my room, too.
I just finished two of them yesterday.
Oh, okay. What were you reading?
One was a story of a man by the name of Almonte.
Okay.
From Mexico. It was his biography pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there's a town of Almont named after him, although he had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, yeah.
But his name was Almonte.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the other book I just finished reading was about Duncan McGregor, written by Roy McGregor.
Oh, okay.
A Life in the Bush. Interesting story.
Yeah, I bet it wouldn't be.
And now I'm just starting a new book. I didn't know whether to buy it or not because it's a tragic story, really. It's a family in the States.
Mm-hmm.
They have 12 children. Six of them have schizophrenia.
Wow.
So it's a study of the family and the interactions and it's a study of the medical, how they were treated, and how different it is then and now. And
yeah.
I imagine six in a family. And so how it affected not only the six that had it, but everybody else,
yeah.
The other kids.
Yeah.
I just started it. I've read about four chapters.
Sounds like an interesting book.
I was hesitant. Yeah. And I've ordered one. I don't have it yet. It Happened in the Room by John Bolton.
Okay.
He was this national security advisor for Trump. The moron Trump.
Yeah, I think I did hear about that because Trump was not happy that he was publishing it.
Nah.
And that made me happy.
Not happy about his niece publishing a book about him either.
Oh, I didn't know his niece was publishing.
Oh, yeah. Mary Trump.
Oh, okay.
Oh, what an idiot.
He's something else, for sure. All I can say is I'm happy to be Canadian right now.
We are so lucky to be Canadians living in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Compare how the pandemic is being treated here and in the States.
Completely different. Like, I'd rather be more cautious in the way things are now.
And if you get sick there and you have no medical,
you're in
they're always blowing how good they are, but it's a second-rate country as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, definitely happy to be Canadian right now. So what would you say, we'll kind of go back, I guess, to your childhood. What would you say a typical day looked like for you? Or what kind of things did you do for fun?
I don't remember.
You probably spent a lot of time with your siblings growing up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Did you ever go skating or fishing or things like that?
My dad was he was a fisherman and a hunter. So we went fishing with him a lot. He was a good hunter, but I was never either one of those. Mm-hmm. Donnie was the fisherman and the hunter. So
I've heard him talk about hunting, because sometimes the deer will be up at the manor and he gets all excited. Yeah.
Yeah, Dad was the hunter and the fisher, and Donnie. Dad worked a lot in the bush, too.
Oh, okay. So that was before then they had the... Oh, okay. Where did he work?
Well...
Or all over?
All over. He bought a bush in Willenlander, 300 acres there.
Oh, wow.
He did a lot of things. He always had to borrow the money first, but then he did the work and paid it back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I worked with him one summer in the bush in Wilno, peeling poplar pulp.
Oh, my gosh. And did you like that or no?
Well, it was a good job. It was with him all day.
Yeah.
Took our sandwiches and a big gallon jug of ginger, peeled pulp all summer.
It would be a hard work, I would think.
No, not really. That's just the bugs, eh?
Oh, okay. Yeah, Wilno's a little buggy.
The bugs. And I remember at Christmas time, it was the only present my dad ever bought, and I'm sure by that I mean my mother bought all the kids with his.
Yeah, yeah.
But he bought me a nice sweater for that year, because I'd worked with him all summer.
Aww.
One winter he cut logs all on Crown Land on Bark Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And in the spring come and summer, he put them all to the lake and had a big boom. He had property on Little Bark Lake. He pulled all those logs with a 7.5-horsepower motor all across from where he had cut them to our area, tied them up, and that night Hurricane Hazel came along, and in the morning all those logs were gone. So he spent the next several weeks all over Big Bark Lake picking his logs up and bringing them back.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that must have taken with 7.5-horsepower.
Yeah,
that would take quite a
but
while.
But it's the work. All he had lost all his winter work. Yeah, he took to find all those logs again.
Well, what kind of stuff did your mom do? Did she, because she used to work in the store, and then after, did she kind of retire? And I guess she had 7 kids to raise.
Yeah, but she was mostly in the restaurant and in the store. Mm-hmm. We always had somebody in the house looking after the kids. We had several people in the house, yeah.
Yeah, so you sometimes had babysitters?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there was always somebody in the house.
Yeah.
They weren't just babysitters, they worked there all day.
Never alone in that house.
No, because she was always in the store, and up until she worked in the store all her life after we, because once we started the store, she was there all the time. And she was quite sick for quite a while. She spent about a year in Ottawa Hospital.
Oh, okay.
We'd come home maybe for a week or so, but then we had to go back. And
yeah.
She had maybe 1,000 seizures a day, and they couldn't figure out what was causing them. They finally were able to stop them, but it took a long time.
Yeah, they eventually figured out what was happening.
She was one time diagnosed with Alzheimer's. It turned out she never had Alzheimer's. It was just the seizures.
Oh, yeah, because there's other symptoms with Alzheimer's. It's not just...
She never had no Alzheimer's, yeah. Her mind was as sharp the day she died.
Yeah.
But there's the seizures that were causing all these problems. But that was a hard time for us because she was in Ottawa Hospital all this time.
Mm-hmm. Was that when you were older or were you quite young still?
No, we were older then. She was older.
It doesn't matter what age you are, it's still tough to see your parents like that.
Yeah.
Or anyone, I guess. Really.
Then they did bring her home, and then there was the medication trying to control the seizures. She was weak and lightheaded, then she fell, broke her hip.
Oh, yeah, that's never good.
Made it worse.
Yeah, yeah.
But she lived to 89. The last few years were pretty good.
Well, that's pretty good, I would say so.
89 and a half. Quite, same age my grandmother was, 89 as well.
That's Carmen Paul-Besky talking with Martina Koulis about his life back in the 20th century, growing up in Barry's Bay and going off to work in far-flung places from London, Ontario, to the head office of Algonquin Park. Time now for a short break, but don't be long. Carmen has more than a few good stories up his sleeve. See you shortly.